This is Age Well with Dr. Sophie Schotter. And this week we have another skincare episode, but this time we're really focused on active skincare. So this is definitely an episode for you if you're interested in products with ingredients that are proven to work. We've got advice.
You can see results really not dissimilar to injectables.
And recommendations.
It's also consistently amongst my patients one of their favourite products.
And maybe you've noticed a few trends and you're looking for a bit of guidance. We've got that too.
I've noticed these come to market as well. And I have to say at the moment, I haven't seen any data or evidence on them.
Plus, I managed to find out what Dr. Sophie's real hero product is.
Maybe this is the hero magic product.
But as you'll hear her say, what's right for Dr. Sophie may not be right for me or for you. Thank you so much for being part of what we do. Enjoy the chat. And if you can, please hit follow as it really helps other people find us and discover our content. So this is another one I'm really looking forward to because I'm going to be taking a lot from this personally. Can we start with maybe an obvious question? What actually causes lines and wrinkles? Because presumably, if we know the cause, we can understand how some of these new products and ingredients are working.
Yeah, and without really understanding the cause, how can you provide the right treatment?
Yeah.
So I guess part of it is that as we move the muscles in our face, we cause creasing in the overlying skin. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, that's happening when we're children and teenagers. So why don't children and teenagers have lines at rest? Yeah. And that's because as we age, other things about the skin change. So the integrity of the face and the skin change. So with skin in particular, this can be a loss of collagen and elastin. And bearing in mind that around 80% or so of our fine lines and wrinkles are caused by UV light breaking down collagen and elastin. So that SPF piece of the equation is so important every single day of the year, but also to do with the kind of structure of the face, because lines and wrinkles can also be made worse by the volume in the face changing in certain areas. So when we look at skincare products or ingredients that are coming to the market, we often talk about building collagen and elastin. But actually, we also have other things we can target. And with skincare, particularly thinking about peptides, there are groups of peptides called neuropeptides, which work to relax that muscle movement in a similar way to injectables of wrinkle relaxation, but in a much, much gentler way. Mm-hmm. And we also have newer ingredients coming further down the pipeline. And we discussed a few things in our regenerative aesthetics episodes, things like exosomes or growth factors. So go and have a listen to that one too, if you're interested.
Yeah, definitely. So to get into the key ingredients in active skincare, if people want to soften those lines and wrinkles, and again, as you said, the regenerative aesthetics episode covers loads of new stuff. So I think it is really important that people bear in mind there's other stuff coming down the pipeline, like you said. What kind of ingredients are we talking about?
I guess we have to start with retinoids. Retinoids are the gold standard in anti-aging ingredients. And actually in the US, it's the only ingredient that is allowed to call itself anti-aging because of the degree of evidence behind it. Mm-hmm. Again, we've talked about retinoids a lot in the past, so I don't want to repeat myself too much, but I do think it's important to come back to it because if treating fine lines and wrinkles, or indeed preventing fine lines and wrinkles, is a key concern for someone, then retinoids are really good to have in your regime. They're proven to increase cell turnover as well as stimulating collagen and elastin production. So they help keep the skin looking and feeling plumper, improve skin tone, and can also even help with breakouts or acne. Mm-hmm. Some people, if you're confused as to why I'm saying retinoid rather than retinol, which is the one most people have heard of, mm-hmm. it's because it's a family of retinoids. Retinol is one form of a retinoid, and all of them are derived from vitamin A. Mm-hmm. But when we apply it onto our skin, they're processed. So retinol is converted into retinal, which is converted into retinoic acid. And you've also got retinaldehyde, which is in the pathway as well. So all of these, you can find as skincare ingredients. And which one you pick might determine how quickly you get results, how sensitizing and irritating they are. Mm-hmm. So it's really important that you pick one that's right for your skin, but it's not just retinol.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense. You've also mentioned peptides.
Yes.
And just to clarify, we have these on our skin already, but it's also possible to have them in a topical cream.
Yeah. So peptides are just building blocks. They're building blocks of proteins. And every single function in our body is dependent on proteins. So whether it's enzymes or hormones or collagen and elastin or things that our cells need to communicate to one another, growth factors, all of these things, antibodies, every single function in our body depends on proteins and peptides. If you didn't have them, the skin's structural integrity would diminish. So, you know, it would lead to a lack of firmness. And there are many, many, many different types of peptides. So it's not as simple as just peptides. It's what do you want those peptides to achieve? Because when we put them in skincare, they act as messengers to prompt our cells to carry out specific tasks. So that could be production of collagen and elastin. Mm-hmm. It could be to boost immunity. It could be to help repair damaged skin. And then there's this whole group of neuropeptides. These can instigate a relaxation of muscles in a similar way to wrinkle relaxing injections, but much less dramatically. Mm-hmm. So if you're not quite ready for injectables yet, but you have stronger frown lines or crow's feet lines around the eyes that bother you, I'd say they're not as data rich yet as retinoids. Nothing mm-hmm. is, but they are showing great promise. There are a few smaller studies. So a 2019 study on women over the age of 40 showed significant improvements in skin in just a couple of weeks. But I would say there are peptide products that I really swear by, particularly for me, it's the Meda Myofix complex and it's the Revision, the Revox line relaxer. These two, when it comes to treating fine lines and wrinkles, even for patients who have anti-wrinkle treatments, I think are such great inclusions. I also find, for example, in me, that those tiny little lines around the under eye, you can never get those with wrinkle relaxation injections. Mm. They're too small, they're too fine and attached right to the skin.
Yeah.
And this is where skincare and treatments just go hand in hand.
Yeah, brilliant. I wanted to ask you about ceramides, which I've been looking into, and they seem far less active, quote unquote, than peptides and retinoids. Still, it seems there's a little bit of a buzz about ceramides, even though they've been in skincare, I think, for quite a long time.
Yeah, so ceramides are a crucial component of the skin. So your skin already has these. Think of it like the cement between the bricks of a wall. That's the function that ceramides have between the cells of your skin. Yeah. So they're crucial for helping to strengthen the skin barrier. And they actually make up over half of your skin's composition. And the skin barrier is this protective layer that protects what's inside from the outside. So it helps protect from pollution, from bacteria that might be sitting on your skin that you definitely don't want on the inside, and even from sun damage. And it's also really important for helping to keep what's meant to be inside, inside. So helping to lock moisture in particular and reduce something called transepidermal water loss, which is where water literally evaporates out of the skin if you've got a compromised barrier. The positive effect of all of that is that they also can help in that way prevent lines and wrinkles, both by decreasing the unwanted insults to your skin and by keeping fluid in there. And similar to all of the other substances we talk about, our natural ceramide levels do deplete over time. So when we reach our 30s, we've lost about 40% of our ceramides, and by our 40s, that's about 60%. So that can lead to this thinning of the skin and a loss of plumpness, but also an increased incidence of barrier compromise. And you might see that as conditions like eczema, rosacea, psoriasis, or just feeling dry or tight. So ceramides are a really good inclusion in a routine.
Okay. All right. I guess we should also talk about hyaluronic acid as well.
Forget HA.
Yeah, exactly. It's so important. Yeah.
Yeah. And hyaluronic acid I describe as the skin's natural sponge. Again, a naturally occurring molecule that holds about 1,000 times its weight in water. So you can be drinking liters of water a day, but if you haven't got enough hyaluronic acid in your skin, then you're not going to hold it where it needs to be. So again, by virtue of plumping out through hydration, hyaluronic acid is absolutely crucial.
Yeah. I wanted just to touch on some of the acids, the AHAs and the BHAs, which to my mind exfoliate dead skin cells, resulting in having that glow again, but also possibly wrinkles, lines looking a little bit less deep. But the reason why we're not going to focus on it too much is, first of all, we talked about those a bit on our skincare episode back in November, I think. And also I wanted to focus more directly on ingredients that work more directly on these signs of aging that we talked about at the top of the episode.
Yeah, and I think AHAs, BHAs, there's so many different formulations on the market, and the right formulations have actually also been shown. And there's one brand that's done an awful lot of research into acids, which is Neostrata, that they do and can thicken the dermis. So you are actually treating aging at its root cause if you're working with the right acids. But there's a lot of variation in formulation.
Which brings me back to ceramides and the skin barrier. And going back to another episode, our gut health episode, I think we talked about the importance of the microbiome on the skin, including our face. So what about protecting that barrier with ceramides, either our natural ceramides or using a topical cream, as opposed to using AHAs, BHAs, all of the other acids, or even, I guess, retinoids, protecting the skin barrier? And how do we navigate that area, which always confuses me?
It is really tricky, because over the last few years, as consumer knowledge of active ingredients has increased, I am seeing a lot more people with compromised skin barriers, usually as a result of overenthusiastic exfoliation. And by that, we're not just talking about these scrubs, which I think many people have realized for a long time, some scrubs, many scrubs, and over-scrubbing is harmful. It's also about chemical exfoliators, so acids. And these can, if you use them in excess, disrupt the skin's pH and in turn affect your ceramide levels and can lead to a very compromised skin barrier. So I always think it's worth thinking about alternatives and gentler ingredients sometimes. So this is where PHAs can come in, so polyhydroxy acids and bionic PHAs. These can even be used by rosacea-prone skin types, and they're much gentler. Things like gluconolactone or lactobionic acid. And then also retinol, which again is another common culprit for causing skin barrier compromise if it's used in excess. There are some skins that will never tolerate a retinol, or if you've got a compromised skin barrier but you still want to have some effective anti-aging skincare, then maybe look at bakuchiol as an alternative. And this is a plant-based alternative which on some studies has shown equivalence. And it actually has a few really key benefits. One is that you can use it while you're pregnant and breastfeeding. With retinol, that's an absolute no. And for people who want to amplify their results, you can use it alongside retinol as well. But if you have a more sensitive skin type, then bakuchiol is definitely one to look out for.
And we're going to do an episode on rosacea as well. Back to ceramides. I've seen ceramide supplements on the market. Does this do the same thing as a topical cream?
I've noticed these come to market as well. And I have to say at the moment, I haven't seen any data or evidence on them. So for me, for now, ceramides are best as a topical ingredient. But of course, other lipids like omega-3 fatty acids and 369 as well, there are some that are good combinations of all three of them. Those as supplements can work really nicely with ceramides topically to help restore a healthy skin barrier.
Back to the big two, peptides and retinoids. Now, you sort of touched on this earlier or hinted at this in terms of there is less data with peptides as there are to retinoids. So how do peptides compare to retinoids? And is it a case of people don't use peptides as much because they just think, oh, I should just use retinoids? Is it an educational thing? And is it the fact that peptides are just as powerful, but we just don't have the data yet? Or are retinoids still more powerful?
So it's really hard to say until we have the data. I guess you could argue that, again, depending on the type of peptides, the end result of collagen and elastin stimulation can be similar between retinoids and peptides, but how they achieve that is different. Retinol boosts collagen production and elastin production, and it also speeds up the cell turnover like an exfoliant would, and has masses and masses of data and history. Peptides, the right peptides, can also boost collagen production and make the skin work more efficiently. But they do it through different signaling molecules. Mm-hmm. So some people choose to use both peptides and retinoids in a routine with the aim of boosting collagen production. We're really getting into the remit now of, again, potentially having very complex skincare routines, and it depends on how much time you want to spend in your bathroom in the morning and in the evening. I would say peptides can go a long way beyond just collagen stimulation. And I get regular questions into my inbox, for example, about, can you recommend a peptide product for me? And the first thing I do is go back and say, what do you want the peptide to do for you? And many people just come back saying, oh, I just want to use a peptide. And it really is about understanding that different peptides will do different things. Some of them will relax muscles. Some of them will boost collagen and elastin production. Some of them could help boost hydration. Mm-hmm. So it's not that a peptide is a one-size-fits-all ingredient. Yeah. And when people are using the two in the same routine, I'll often say use the peptide in the morning and the retinol in the evening, and then you can have the best of both worlds.
Yeah, so it doesn't have to be an either or. So in terms of what's out there, now you've mentioned a couple, which I know are two real heroes of yours. Can you explain to us how you fit them into your routine and any others that you would recommend? And then we'll move on to, we'll do some budget options as well.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah. I guess some of my favorite hero products, and in no particular order, Skin Better Science's Alpha Ret Overnight Cream. And they also have an eye version of this, the IMAX. Mm-hmm. This contains a patented retinoid molecule together with AHAs, which you might think, oh, retinoids plus AHAs, isn't that going to be irritating? But actually, through their delivery mechanism, it doesn't cause redness or irritation in the vast majority of people. Mm-hmm. Often, if you are a more sensitive skin type, I'm still going to say introduce it slowly. Mm-hmm. And this is one to use at night, for sure. Yeah. But for me, that's always on my bathroom shelf. Still staying on Skin Better, their Interfuse Lines product is an injectable grade hyaluronic acid that also has peptides in it and vitamin C. Mm-hmm. And this is great to use on specific lines and wrinkles that need some extra TLC. Very gentle to use, no redness or irritation, and it can be used twice a day. Moving on to peptide product, for me, the Revision Skincare Revox Line Relaxer is an amazing example of this, and it's got 8 different types of peptides and hyaluronic acid. Really helps to smooth expression lines, and it's on an applicator that can be kept in the fridge, so it's nice and cool and brilliant around the eyes. And for me, that one's one I use in the morning. It can sometimes feel a little bit tingly almost. And I would say the same about the Mida Beauty MyoFix. And this is a great option for anyone who can't have or doesn't want to have wrinkle relaxation. It's a very concentrated peptide solution. It contains both muscle relaxing and remodeling peptides that really do provide a reduction in that visible muscle movement. And they have data behind it that shows us that with 5 weeks of daily use, you can see results really not dissimilar to injectables. Now, one thing I would say is that their instructions do say not to use it alongside retinoids, but there's no reason why you can't take a break from one product and then use another for a while and then go back. There's no point chopping and changing for short periods of time, but you can cycle your products depending on what your skin needs at a specific time.
So would you use the Mida Beauty MyoFix on alternate nights, a retinoid one night and then the Mida Beauty another night?
Absolutely, you could do that, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And then I guess one other hero one I'm going to talk about that's a personal favourite is the SkinCeuticals HA Intensifier. Mm-hmm. And this is all about amplifying the skin's natural hyaluronic acid levels. It can be used twice a day. And again, with the vast majority of people, this isn't going to cause any redness or irritation. It's also consistently amongst my patients, one of their favourite products.
Okay, and what about budget-friendly options? I'm not at all saying that these are off-the-chart expensive, but of course people will always want to know, what if I'm nipping into Boots or maybe heading online to, I don't know, Beauty Pie or something like that? Is there anything that you would recommend?
So in terms of wrinkle-relaxing peptides, there's a really good range of products actually from Indeed Labs containing something called Synoxin, which is their peptide blend, and I think at a very reasonable price point. For hyaluronic acid serums, I think Vichy comes in really well here. They've got their Mineral 89, which I think is a brilliant option. And I think Medicate's retinoid, and the price point with their retinoids does vary an awful lot, but I think they've got some very good retinoids at a very accessible price point.
Okay. Can we talk about the TikTok trend with a product from The Ordinary that people were calling and maybe still are calling Botox in a bottle?
Yeah, this comes back again to peptide. So they have a product, The Ordinary have a product called 10% Argyrilene. And Argyrilene is just one of these peptides. It's a peptide called acetylhexapeptide 3. Mm-hmm. And it can help to block the release of a neurotransmitter, which tells the muscles to contract and therefore to move. And so when you apply Argyrilene to the skin, it can give a similar but much gentler result than an injectable botulinum toxin. So I would say it's not... Nothing, unfortunately, topically at the moment is comparable. Mm-hmm. But if people don't want to go down the route of injectables, this can be a way of minimizing and controlling that muscle action more temporarily at home.
Is there anything out there, and maybe there is from one of your heroes, and maybe that's what we're going back to, that contains just the right amount of peptides and ceramides and HA, the hyaluronic acid, and maybe even some vitamin C and niacinamide. So forget the retinoids for a minute, but everything else apart from retinoids. Is there something out there that kind of basically includes everything? And if so, what is it? And does it exist?
So, do you know, by simply saying this, we are being very ingredient focused rather than result focused, because it can be, when you're looking for these specific ingredients, it can just get very messy. Mm. And really, I would say, get expert advice on focusing on the results you want to achieve with your skin. There are brilliant products that combine many things, not necessarily this exact blend, but for example, for me in the mornings, I am a huge fan of the Revision DEJ face cream. Yes, it's an investment product and it does have vitamin C in it, but I do tend to add additional antioxidant in the morning. It's got peptides, it's got amino acids, it's got ceramides in it, it's got lots of different things. So maybe this is the hero magic product. I think there are products that provide the results that we need. And the best thing is to be driven by an expert who advises you on what your skin will benefit from. And a skincare routine doesn't need to be complex. I don't like having multiple steps of single ingredient skincare, because I think that can lead to an increased risk of barrier compromise rather than healthier skin in the long run. So I guess having said that, there isn't one product that contains everything. There are products that contain a lot. And that's sometimes why people look at some of the products I might recommend and say, gosh, that's an investment. And I agree it is, but it contains many, many, many things that are formulated to work together to achieve a clinically proven endpoint. Mm. And so that for me is really where skincare magic happens.
Yeah, that's such a great answer. Thank you so much. I mean, there is so much choice. I was going to ask you as well, do you ever get overwhelmed with all of the choice out there? And how do you stay on top of it?
I don't envy a consumer trying to pick products at the moment. Even taking vitamin C has become so confusing, because now we have other very sophisticated forms of vitamin C that have come to market. I would say the key here is to look beyond necessarily just what a brand tells you, and certainly beyond what social media hype and influencer hype tells you, and really think back to what you want a product to achieve for you. Many of the medical brands, they don't invest in marketing. They invest in research and development. Mm. But you will see these in the hands of skin experts who will talk very favorably about them. On a really simple level, take retinoids. And we did a quick flypast of them before. But they come in so many different forms, so many different strengths, and it can be really confusing. And there are simple rules, like starting low and building up and seeing what works for your skin. Peptides could seem really confusing, because how do you know whether that peptide is going to help inflammation, or whether it's going to build collagen, or whether it's going to relax muscles? And we'll put some bits in the show notes, but there are different peptides to look for that do all of these things. So you can look at the back of a bottle and cross-reference it with the notes we give you, and you might be able to decipher a little bit. But we also have skincare's changing. So a lot of my patients are women approaching or at perimenopause. And there are products which can address many needs in a single bottle. So a favorite of mine, I've mentioned the Revision DEJ, Emapel. This offers something called MEP technology, which it's basically formulated to trick your skin cells to behave as though they still have estrogen. But if it's absorbed into your bloodstream, it does nothing. It has no estrogenic effect. It just helps within the skin. So skincare for me now goes so far beyond what it ever has done before. And my genuine advice, if you're confused, rather than going and buying multiple products and testing, is invest in a consultation with a skin expert to really have a routine that's a bit more targeted for you.
Yeah. And I also love what you said about a lot of the brands that you work with, they're not investing in marketing, they're investing in data and research. And that is critical. So yeah, that's a great reminder to all of us. So to avoid lines and wrinkles, because that's what this episode is about. This is body positive. We understand that not everybody is interested in doing that. But for the sake of people who are interested in mitigating or minimizing lines and wrinkles, could somebody realistically get away with only using some of these actives and active skincare?
It's really tricky because if you start using them when the signs of aging are already there, they'll have results. They will improve things, but they're not going to achieve the same as injectables. Now, if we get in with educating young people about skincare, and this is a hot topic at the moment because I'm not talking here about active ingredient use in children and teenagers, but building healthy habits from a young age. So for example, in teenagers, starting to use a cleanser, a gentle moisturizer, and sunscreen every day. So if we can build those good sun protection habits at a young age, that's going to make a dramatic difference. And then if we start using some of these ingredients around the age where our collagen levels start to diminish, which for most people is around 25, if we do that in a concerted way, then we're going to get the best that skincare can possibly offer us in a preventative capacity. But it still will have its ceiling because of what we said at the very beginning. Aging goes beyond just the skin. It's also about the muscles and it's also about the deeper volume. So no matter what topical skincare you're using, they're not going to reach those layers. So having injectables is a really personal decision and it's not for everyone. And I will always say the most important thing is skincare. Use good, consistent skincare. Keep your skin healthy and radiant and you will age very, very well. But does that mean you'll never get a line or a wrinkle in your life or you'll never get any sagging? No, unfortunately not. I wish that existed, but at least at the moment it doesn't. And I do want to just finish by reminding people that this podcast is called Age Well for a reason. There's nothing wrong with aging in a more natural way. My personal focus is on longevity and preventing premature aging for all the reasons we've discussed in my Regenerative Aesthetics podcast episode. We have the data that aged skin, so those lines and wrinkles, loss of tone of the skin, can be a sign of that skin is releasing inflammatory molecules which trigger aging in other organs. So we know that as our largest organ, skin plays a role in how we age systemically. And also around the mental health piece, helping people to make the choices that are right for them. It's not that there's anything wrong with aging, but we now have a choice about how we do it. And for me, I want to really help and empower people to do this as the best version of themselves, but doing it as healthily as they possibly can.
Thank you so much, Sophie. I found this to be such a useful chat. And as always, you've covered so many different angles and all the angles that I was hoping that you would cover. So as always, thank you.
Thank you, Fee.
And that ends our podcast. If you want to explore more of what we talked about, simply head to the show notes. We've done all of the research and noting down of names, ideas, any studies we mentioned, so you don't have to go digging. To be ahead of the latest episode, press follow on Apple Podcasts. That's the little cross on the top right. Or simply hit follow on Spotify or whichever podcast app you use. Also, do follow Sophie on Instagram and TikTok. There's loads of great content and little explainers on there. Search for Dr. Sophie Schotter. Finally, if you're close to London or Kent, you can book a consultation with Sophie and find out more about who she is and the range of treatments and services she offers via drsophieschotter.com. And by the way, there's some great blog content on the website too. My name's Fiona Mattesini. On behalf of myself and Sophie, please do take a moment to rate and review the show. It all helps. And of course, thanks for listening.